I'm going to begin with 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. Look at, as I said, a number of passages. And I'm not going to give them all to you at the beginning. You'll forget them anyway. If you're like me, you won't remember past one or two. So it's a good thing I have them written down, huh? Let's bow our heads together, ask for the Lord's help tonight. Father, I pray that you would speak through your word tonight. May the scripture verses that we look at speak clearly to our hearts. And Father, may it be right into our heart this evening. Give that anointing that is needed tonight to make it effective. Give strength and help, clarity of mind and speech. In Jesus' name, amen. How important are the scriptures? How important are the scriptures? Different things have different values to different people. The persecuted church, the church or the people that aren't allowed to have a copy of the scriptures, they tend to have and hold a higher value of the Bible. If they can get a page of it, you read stories of the past in concentration camps. If they could get a page, they memorized it the best that they could and they passed it on before the guards would confiscate it and burn it, doing their best to keep it alive. How valuable, how important are the scriptures? I thought maybe we could take the time tonight to go around just a little bit around this congregation and ask how many Bibles, copies of God's Word, do we have in our homes or in our possessions? I've got five of them on my desk downstairs, besides the one that's here with me in the pulpit. That doesn't include the ones that are on the shelves. I don't know how many Bibles I have in my study. I have one in my truck and one in my van. That at any time I can reach over and I can grab a copy of the scriptures, even when I'm out and about in a vehicle. How many do you have? Multiple copies? Do you keep all, do you have your, I don't know, do you have your eighth grade graduation copy? If you graduated from high or from a Christian school in eighth grade, maybe you got a Bible from the school. I think I still have mine somewhere. It seems like I have it. I have a Bible from an old girlfriend. I cut that page out because it was just a single page. I don't have it because of the memories of that. I have it because what am I going to do with them? I'm not throwing it away. My wife knows where. She probably knows which one it is. It's no big deal. Maybe she doesn't, but I think she does. If she doesn't, it's because she forgot. I know that she's got multiple copies besides the ones that I have. I think I have two, at least two, in my bedside table. I think I have two of them. One of them's brand new. One of them's identical to this one, only in new shape. I'm waiting for this one to fall apart, but maybe it won't fall apart since I don't really use that Bible as often or as much as I used to. How important are they? How important is the Bible in your life? How important is the Bible in your home? How important is the Bible in your heart? So then let's circle back here quickly to the very first question. How important are the scriptures? The scriptures. And when I refer to the scriptures or the Bible, I am speaking about God's word. God's written word to us. Now God's written word to us, we include the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It's not just the Gospels or just a certain part of the New Testament. We do not eliminate the Pauline epistles. We do not eliminate any of the Old Testament books that are in our Bible that we have and hold and carry. Bible, the Holy Bible. How important are the Scriptures? I believe that Paul was trying to tell Timothy the value of the Scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading with verse number 12 to pick up a little bit beforehand where I really want to focus. And I'm sure that you know where, when you open up your Bible to that passage, what I'm going to be looking at, what the focus is in this particular chapter. Verse number 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou." Here's where he begins to tell Timothy the value of the Scriptures. The value of the Scriptures that he is painting the picture to Timothy is that there are deceivers that are coming in and all around us, and just as it was in Timothy's day, we find it in our day. And the only way that we can counter the deceptive principles or the deceptive thoughts and the deceptive teachings around us is to have and to hold and to carry God's Word. "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." How early is too early to teach your kids the Bible? How early is too early? 5 years old? The chances are that if we are not teaching our children the Bible before they're capable of understanding it, we will miss the first opportunity when they can miss it, or when they can understand it, excuse me. If we don't start before they're capable of understanding, we very well, most likely, will miss that first opportunity when they can understand. Because we might have something in our mind, it's when they're a certain age, or after they begin to ask certain questions, well, now their mind is capable. Well, perhaps the better option would be to start forming and shaping their mind with God's Word before those questions come up. That's why I think it's necessary, at least for me, and you can do what you want, but for me, I really do my best for six grandkids now to talk to my grandkids the very first time I carry them, the very first time I hold them, to tell them about Jesus. It may be in the most simplest form. Not a single one of them will ever remember that first time when I talk to them about Jesus. But I also pray that I will continue to talk to them about Jesus. That first time when they don't understand and they don't remember, that's not going to be the only time that I talk to them. I believe that we need to teach them. And that's what he's saying to Timothy. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's given by the divine breath. Through the divine breath. This is God-breathed words. God-inspired. It's not just simply that a group of men wrote these things and compiled them into a book form, but God ordained, God breathed, God anointed words. And so then we realize that what he has further to say hinges upon the belief that it's inspired by God. Because if we don't believe it's inspired, then we're not going to receive it as doctrine. We're not going to receive it as reproof. We're not going to take it as correction or instruction of righteousness when it goes against what we want it to go against or don't want it to go against. When we struggle with something, if we don't have it convincing within our own mind that it's God-inspired, breathed. But Paul is saying, first of all, that it's inspired of God. And because it's inspired of God, it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. You want to know about heaven? The Bible. You want to know about hell? The Bible. You want to know about God? The Bible. You want to know about holiness? The Bible. You want to know about salvation? The Bible. You want to know how to walk daily, live daily? The Bible. God's Word. You want to know how valuable it is to be an honest man or a woman. You want to know how important it is to be a person of integrity. The Bible tells us how important it is to be people of integrity, people of honesty. You want to know how important it is to be a person who is not a thief. Does it matter that a person steals or not steal? Well, the Bible tells us, it explains that, and I think it's pretty clear what the Bible says about it. I think the Bible's pretty clear about how we should deal with the subject of alcoholism or just alcohol in any way in general, speaking of beverage. Oh, well, the Bible says that it's profitable. A little bit of wine is profitable for the belly. Well, you know, let's see what else God's Word has to say. And we'll find that not only is he talking about a little wine's okay for the belly, but then he goes off in different passages and talks about the dangers. The dangers of that very thing. So you have to think, well, what is he talking about here? Is he talking about hard liquor that is a little bit profitable for the belly, or is there some other aspect? Because if I'm toying with something of danger, then I'm putting myself into a position where perhaps something can take place in my life to where I'm driven to that because it numbs. It changes my feelings. You see, there's a lot of things that we can find in the Scripture. He says instruction in righteousness. That's how valuable Paul is telling Timothy that the Scriptures are. That the man of God or the individual of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Amplified said, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living and conformity to God's will in thought, in purpose, in action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think both of these translations are telling us that God's Word gives us every facet of life in the way of instruction and how to live. How important are the Scriptures? How important are the Scriptures in your life? Not only in your life, but in your home, which is part of your life, or in your heart, which is part of your life. How important is it? Let's leave the instruction of Paul to Timothy. Now, it's there. I'm not making it obscure. I'm not trying to hide it or cover up. I'm not trying to get you to ignore it. But let's just leave it behind just for a moment to look at another passage to determine how important it is, as God would indicate to us how important he wants it to be in our lives. How important. We can go to the very first psalm. The very first psalm. Do you like the psalms? They're good. They're good for you when you're discouraged. They're good for you when you're down. They're good for you when you have some issues taking place that are maybe troubling to you. You can read the Psalms in so many different ways and so many different times and find strength. Maybe you have to read several of them to get to the one that meets your particular need. But boy, there's just so much in the Psalms. Psalm 1, the very first one. I think maybe God put it this way for a reason. Put it here for a reason. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That gets my attention. Does it get your attention? What else does he have to say? Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, that's good. Yeah, thank you, Lord, to tell me that it's good here to have the Psalms and the law of the Lord and to carry it with me when I go to church, or to have it in the glove box of the truck or the glove box of the van, and to have multiple copies on my desk. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for letting me know that it's important to have. Do you know that passage? The writer didn't stop there, did he? But in his law doth he meditate once or twice a month. Surely it's more important than that, isn't it? Once or twice a week. Well, at least on Sundays. No, we find that the psalmist here says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. We could spend a little bit of time talking about that word meditate and what it means. This is not a passage. I think it's been some time back that Edward used that word on a Wednesday night, and he really made it clear. Maybe we need to go back and dig that out of the archives. Perhaps it's in there somewhere, and then replay that, the importance and the depth of the word meditate day and night. You know, in Deuteronomy, when we talk about dedication of our children, I refer to it and I read it every single time, that that's the scripture, the Bible. Deuteronomy tells us that we are to put God's word on the doorpost and on the walls, and we're to talk about it when we get up, and we're to talk about it when we sit down and we lay down. And everything we do is surrounded and saturated by God's word. And so the psalmist is just taking that and applying it to his particular Psalm here. Day and night does he meditate on God's word. I think that Paul is saying to Timothy that there's great value in the heart and the life and the mind of the individual, and I believe that the psalmist is saying identically the same thing. In his law doth he meditate. The Amplified said, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Boy, that's some pretty hard stuff right there to tell us that God's word should be high in the categories of priorities for our lives. But that's not all. The psalmist in Psalm 119 tells us, verse number 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Not just that verse. I think I referred to this last week or sometime recently. Not just hiding that verse in our hearts so that we don't sin, but hiding God's word is what that verse is talking about. And we should not just memorize verse number 11 of Psalm 119, but we should be memorizing the principles and the precepts and the rules of God's word. The proverb writer in chapter 23 verse number 12, Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, I think the proverb writer says. apply thine heart. Well, the kids are back to school. Some of the college kids are heading off to college this week. And there's going to be some applying going on in studies. Some people more than others. It's the unfair aspect of a man's intelligence, people's intelligence. God didn't make us all the same. I'm glad for that, and yet sometimes I'm envious of that. But there's some applying work that goes into school labors, working at the job to learn and to memorize and to be able to repeat for the test. The proverb writer is saying, apply thine heart unto instruction. Verse number 19, he said, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. There we go, in the way. Apply thine heart, guide thine heart. Verse 26, he said, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. See, what is he talking about? He's talking about the application of God's word injected into and applied to the individual, the person who wants to follow God. God's word is valuable. Going back to the 119th division of the Psalms in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I was driving the van the other evening, and I thought, boy, it looks dark. It looks dark outside. And so when I parked the van and I got out and I looked, and sure enough, a headlight is out. And that van doesn't have the brightest of headlights anyway. Very seldom do I get somebody else to flash their headlights at me when I'm on high beam. They're just dark. Somebody said I need to do that polish on the headlight frame, on the headlight lens. I need to get that yellowish look off of there. Well, anybody that wants to do that, let me know. Help me out there. But I got a headlamp out. And the bulbs burn out apparently. And so I'm only operating on half the light. It's a little hard to see when it's half the light, especially if it's raining. If your eyes are like mine, rain and night just don't go together in my eyes. It's hard to see at night with rain. And so without one bulb out, it's really difficult to see where I should be. So stay out of my way. You see, it's important for us to have light, to see where we're supposed to go. And God's word is telling us that his word is a light for our path. It is a lamp for our feet. It's something so that we can see where we should go. The suggestion here is that it's to clearly mark the path for us. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. Did you hear that? The proverb writer said, the commandment is a lamp. The whole teaching of the law is light. And reproofs of the discipline are the way of life. Let's quickly move on to Psalm 19, verse 7. You know this probably. I love to sing these verses in Psalm 19, but I don't like to sing them in public because if there's 10 people singing, there's 10 different rhythms or 10 different ways. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How important are the scriptures? If that doesn't answer that question sufficiently for you, look at the next verse. More to be desired are they than gold. What motivates you to get out of bed in the morning? gold? Whoa, that's getting close to where we live, isn't it? No, that's what God's telling us. So I don't seek after gold. No, you just seek something less than that. We're talking about financial, material gains. It is to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, he said. He's talking about the law of the Lord infiltrating, the law of the Lord penetrating, the law of the Lord conforming an individual to the will and the plan and the purpose of God. And he said in the midst of that, oh, look, I've got secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. How do we know that there's sin involved in a person's life? I wouldn't know sin unless God's law made it visible. Revealed it to me. Oh, and so he's reading God's word. He realizes that from the word of God and the law of God that he would be warned, and in keeping there's great reward. And then lo and behold, look at the errors and the secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now he's beginning to walk carefully, cautiously. Not scared and trembling, afraid that God's going to kick him out at the least breach or at the smallest of infractions. That's not what he's talking about. But now he's looking and he's realizing that God is a majestic God and he wants to walk carefully. In his holiness, he wants to walk carefully before God's holiness. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then he closes out by saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. How important are the scriptures? I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I think this is right. Jentison Franklin. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his first name or not. But he said, dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. How long has it been since you've dusted off your Bible? Oh, I read it on my iPad. Well, how long has it been since you've dusted off the iPad scriptures? Why? Because the scriptures reveal the priorities of our lives, how important, how valuable is God's word to me, to my life, to my home, to my mind or heart. I invite you to stand with me this evening. Help us, Lord. Help me. Help me. I want to hold his word dear to my heart, close in my life. I want it to saturate my mind. God, help me. Praise God. Praise God. Jonathan, would you dismiss us in prayer?